You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
It's Sleepy Casey.
What up, it's Chris. How y'all doing?
How are y'all doing? We're cracking up because our little one is gotten quite vocal, and her favorite thing to do when we're away from her is to call us. And so she'd gone on a daddy streak. Dad, dad, dad. And now she's mum. Like just over and over and over and over again. And on beat too. Like you can dance to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she a dance all right. But in case you didn't know, this is the Blackest Network.
Yes.
You were checking out the break.
Yes.
It's a new year. Hope y'all had a nice New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year, Blackest fam. Thank you so much for traveling with us for several years. If you're a new listener, we thank you and welcome you into our fold. Hope you enjoy what you're listening to.
Yeah, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thanks for checking us out.
Yes.
We ain't going to keep y'all much longer, but...
No, because I can't hang. When I said Sleepy KC, I meant for real. One eye open, Sleepy KC.
Yeah, she hanging on there, but... this particular episode you checking out, we're talking about the movie Chi-Rat.
Yes.
We weren't able to do the whole, the Blackest field trip
right.
that we do with certain movies, but none of us checked it out, so we were here discussing it. I believe in this episode... besides Casey and myself, we got Tash, Toria, Shelby, and the other Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, actually, Toria was the one basically interviewing us.
Yes.
Asking us all the questions about the movie.
Yeah, in this episode, Toria and the other Chris had not yet seen Chi-Rat, and so Toria put herself in the position of being podcast moderator, which was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because she hit us with questions that she had about the film, and we all got an opportunity to respond, and I think you will find it to be interesting. We definitely came to a conclusion mm-hmm. about Brother Spike and where he is now in regard to his filmmaking and how we all relate to it, and you know, some hopes for where he takes things in the future. I mean, we of course can't call that, but
right.
it'll be interesting to see where he goes from this point on.
Yeah, we had a difference of opinion on a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. so it should be a good listen.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all want to get back to us with some feedback or whatnot, you can email us at kc@blackisonline.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We'll read those on the show as well. You can hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. And please always check us out at the website, blackisonline.com.
Yes. Yes. Enjoy. And the one thing that you will definitely enjoy about this episode is you get everybody at the table's top three Spike Lee films. So stay tuned for that for sure.
Yeah, they're all different too.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening.
Peace. Don't do that.
We're gonna touch on a lot.
It's so
much.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to see it, but
we're gonna go see it.
We're gonna have a chance to see it vicariously through your conversation.
We're gonna encourage you to see it anyway.
Yeah. So this is Spike's latest. I don't know how many films Spike has made. I'm not looking at his filmography right now, but Spike's latest film is Chi-Raq. And before we even got a chance to see it in the theaters, there was a whole lot of commentary, people not caring for the name, what is he referencing, blah, so on and so forth.
And right. People from Chicago getting pissed.
Right, feeling some kind of way about it. Mm-hmm. A couple things to note about it. It is based on a Greek tragedy?
A Greek play.
I can't remember.
It's funny. They even
I think you're right. I think it is a comedy.
They mentioned it in the movie.
Yeah, that's it. Right. The whole film is in verse. So that part of it was interesting. Yeah. And of course, Spike used this as his platform to touch on pretty much all the situations we've been dealing with within the last couple of years. Black on black crime, cop on black people crime. He always delves into male and female black relationships, black love. Moms, the role of the mother. So we have Sam Jackson, Nick Cannon, who was a surprise.
What do you mean by that?
Sam Jackson is basically the
narrator. I didn't anticipate him being the lead character. Okay. But he was the lead character. His characters,
of one of the particular gangs.
He is Chi-Raq.
So he's good.
He's a rapper, who raps, and he kind of goes by the name Chi-Raq because he's from Chicago, and that's how he describes his city as that violent.
Right.
So yeah, he's one of the leaders of a particular gang.
Right. So he raps his life. Sam Jackson,
he's a narrator.
Nick Cannon, the sister that was on Dear White People that played the one with the weave.
Tiona Harris.
Is her name Tiona Harris? Like that. She's great. Okay. She's in it. Angela Bassett, John Cusack.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, he plays the other gang leader.
Yep. Jennifer Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
She was the weak link, in my opinion.
See, that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we don't get to it.
Yeah, she was the weak link, in my opinion.
In my opinion, that's not fair.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear that. So, strong cast, relatively, fairly strong cast. Right off the bat, I like this movie. I would not put it in my top three Spike Lee films, but it's solid. Somebody asked me that question. So my top three films, I have to remember again, but in this order, will be Mo' Better Blues, School Days, and Crooklyn.
Okay. Around the table, top three Spike Lee before you get into the
Chi-Raq. Wow. Crooklyn is first. Mm. Mo' Better Blues is second. And Get on the Bus.
Mm.
And then with School Days being like the Get on the Bus, School Days are the two.
Special mention.
Okay. Top three, that's an interesting question because I don't know if I really have a top three. So in no particular order, I still love School Days forever and always. I do like Mo' Better Blues. Those are my two favorite.
Okay.
So I don't know if anything else. Everything else is pretty much equal after that.
Okay.
Top three,
Spike Lee. I like how he did X, and I like. She Hate Me.
Mm-hmm.
And He Got Gay. I like He Got Gay.
Yeah.
Okay. School Days.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Right Thing. And Jungle Fever.
Mm.
Oh, I forgot about Jungle Fever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I forgotten about X.
Red Hook Summer.
That was deep.
That was deep. That shit took
I was trying to figure out the whole dynamics of that movie. Like, okay, so the boy goes to stay with his grandfather, but then it's like it gets way deeper than that. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Man, yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah, and that was a good casting
too. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Top three.
God. I would say Mo Better Blues, mm-hmm. No Order, Mo Better Blues, School Days, and I'm about to. Oh, wow. I think for three, it probably have to be split between. You know what? No, I'm going to say third would be Get on the Bus. Because I really like Get on the Bus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very powerful. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. All right, so now Shy. Yeah, well, X being a really close fourth.
Yeah, it's in there. To me, that was just. That's like his
magnum opus. She's Gotta Have It was good, too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. Did I say it right? I said She Hate Me.
Yeah, there's She Hate Me and She Gotta Have It.
I thought I said.
Nobody said Girl Six.
Nobody will say Girl Six.
I like the Girl Six soundtrack.
Exactly. I was going to say it has the strongest soundtrack.
Mookie.
So with this one, enjoyable. I guess. It'd be easiest for me to start with the weak link first. Okay, so why did I not like Jennifer Hudson in this film?
Who was she?
Jennifer Hudson played a mother of a child who was killed randomly during some gang violence. Okay. She was innocent bystander in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Seven.
Oh, her daughter.
Seven-year-old girl. Okay. And really, it's real quick. I didn't believe her. She was not a believable mother of a child that was just slain in the street. And
she's a mother.
Tash brought it up to me. He said it could have been writing, but in the scene where she's introduced to us, there's the yellow tape, the police and a crowd forming, and she pulls up in her car and she runs up and she sees her child on the ground. And she's just like, that's my baby. But then she, at some point, I remember her walking back to her car as if she was going to leave. Like the police just wouldn't let her through. And from my perspective, that would just never be the case. You can't stop me if my baby's down there on the ground. I don't care what I got to do. That's just not believable. Her response to that situation, she was able to,
Too composed.
Way too composed. Thank you.
Way too composed. But what I will say though, about that entire thing, was shot so shitty.
It was broken.
Everyone's response, like that whole outdoor thing, from her response to the cops to all of them to the. I mean, I didn't really prefer him either, but that's later in the conversation.
We should have gone around the table to give thumbs up, thumbs down, because I can't tell. Okay.
Okay.
Chirac,
thumbs up.
Tash.
I like it. It's all right. It wasn't bad.
Like a sideways thumb?
No, that's a. I would encourage black people to go see it. I don't trust that anybody outside the tribe can get the nuance and the subtext of the satire.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes he goes real broad, and it feels like Coonan sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Like, it feels like some major Coonan, and so...
Really?
He can do that. Yeah, he goes there.
Yeah, and not Coonan in a... what was the... Bamboozle type of way.
Oh, bamboozle. Not,
this is Coonan in a, you laugh at it because, like, that nigga crazy. Like, it's like some Bruce and Monique is going back and forth and be like, ooh, it's funny, but you know it's wrong to be laughing, like.
Said Bruce.
Shelby,
thumbs down.
Huh?
I'm thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
I give it thumbs up.
I just like spikes.
So we got three thumbs up and a thumbs down.
And a thumbs down. Mm-hmm. And what I was saying, though, is that whole thing was, it looked like it was shot with like $5. Even, I was telling...
$5 budget.
Right, I was even telling Tash, even when she was cleaning the blood, that was like magenta. Like, it just felt like...
I didn't like that scene either.
Spike, you've been doing this for too long. This
was
just
like midlife crisis an opportunity.
You had such an opportunity with this part of the movie, and you, to me, it's not just Jennifer that was the weak link. He was also the weak link. That whole thing could have been done so much better, and it wasn't.
Or they could have cast somebody better too.
I'm not a Jennifer Hudson fan,
but I agree with you. I do
agree that she is not a strong actor. Mm-hmm. So
a strong storyline.
It was
So the story itself is based off of a Greek play, Lysistrata, where the women in this town are mad because the men are warring with the two different factions of the men in the town are warring. So the women go on a sex strike and say, "We're not giving up any ass to any of the men anywhere until we stop this senseless violence and stop the war." Yeah. So one woman from one side of the faction goes to the other guy's woman and says, "Stop." And Chirac is basically two gangs in Chicago, and their women come together and are like, "Yo, what's the one power we have? It's the power of the pussy." Yeah. So, and if we're really tired of this senseless violence, let's go on a citywide sex strike. And the whole premise is so kind of ridiculous.
Can I just add to the plot? Yeah. So they set it up, though, as this woman in Africa ending a war between tribes by not having sex with anyone.
Well, a woman in Liberia did win the Nobel Peace Prize by initiating a sex strike among the women there. I forget her name. And there were a number of factors that led to the second Liberian Civil War ending. But she was one of the big factors, and just trying to get, gathering women to be like, we aren't going to have sex with these men who are warring in our country. So it is based in both classic literature and and something that happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and Tiona Ferris, I had to look it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tiona Ferris, she's Nick Cannon's girl.
Okay.
And Samuel Jackson's a narrator who,
Dolomites.
Yeah, he's
telling
the story.
Like, not Dolomite.
Yeah. She's supposed to be like basically the baddest chick around. Okay. I mean, she carries. She does a good job. She carries
beautiful.
It.
She's super cute.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She just decides, like, I'm tired of this because he's all about his gang and he has no problem with the killing at all. He's just like, this is just what we do.
Right.
And, like, basically she's with his gun and all that. So she's the one who starts this, goes to the rival gang, says all that. And then it spreads. The thing is, what I did like about the movie is going in and from hearing everybody's complaint, it sounded like it was this whole thing about Chicago.
Right.
When
you
get into the movie, it starts getting beyond Chicago.
So beyond Chicago.
Because there's scenes where what they're doing starts to spread. So other women in other cities start doing it.
And then other
countries are like, all the women are like, we ain't sleeping, we ain't giving y'all no sex neither.
They're chanting no pussy, no peace in multiple languages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah.
So if this weren't Spike Lee, right? Because, we gonna automatically support Spike Lee because it's just Spike Lee.
Or we gonna hate because
it's Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Right. Is this like go to the movies and see it or is it a DVD?
I'd go to the movies and see it.
Well.
If it weren't Spike Lee. Because Spike Lee. If it weren't Spike Lee, go to the movies or you can wait till it comes out.
This is really sad to say. If it wasn't Spike Lee, I think the same premise used in the same universe would have been executed just a little bit better. I think part of its rockiness is that it's like Spike Lee. And here it is. Spike Lee's an auteur. Like, so he's like a Fellini. He's like a Woody Allen.
Right.
So
he's our little,
no matter
we're
what.
We're going to take him as our little brother, right?
You go, not even our big brother.
Our big brother.
As our uncle auteur filmmaker. But he's in like an auteur filmmaker who can't really write. Like, so, like, there's always like a little something with his movies that he's like the auteur who can't write.
So
but his stories are good.
In comparison to all the other Spike Lees.
There is no other Spike Lee. That's what makes it
other Spike Lee movies.
Oh, okay.
In comparison to all his other movies.
It's a Spike Lee film.
It's a Spike Lee film, but where does it fall?
Below everybody's top three, that's for sure.
It falls.
It's not one of his more groundbreaking. Like, I don't see
to
us.
Me, it's above Red Hook Summer. I did not like that movie at all. I was real quiet.
I heard a lot of people did not like
it. I did not.
Was it the content of Red Hook Summer?
I liked the storyline. Where they were, where he was trying to go. Yeah,
there's
okay, trying to go, but
okay. Let me think. What else? What did y'all think of? What did y'all think of John Cusack? Because I think personally, his scene in the church, he did that specifically to have a white man say that because what he was saying was beyond hood and was basically speaking on violence in America and how we just love guns and. The inner city, we don't really care about the inner city and all that. I think if it was a black preacher, it would kind of be like, it's the same. But having
Cusack
a white
was a
guy,
white preacher.
He's a white preacher in a church with a big, ass picture of a black Jesus hanging.
Yeah,
behind
it's a black congregation.
It's based on a real preacher and who's a Roman Catholic, but a black. Catholic preacher.
So what were some of the topics he covered? Because I know people said he covered a lot of things.
No, this is hold on. This is really important. This white preacher who's preaching with God's trombone, like in almost in black voice.
Mm-hmm. He does.
I mean,
he does a good job.
Is based off of the real dude in Chicago who's the leader of the anti-violence, put your guns down, a white guy who brings gangs from different sides together. Right. And I would say that Sam Jackson and John Cusack were like probably, and the lead one girl were probably the strongest things about it.
I would agree.
Only because it's inverse. So it's almost like when you're listening to Shakespeare, when someone can
deliver those
some
lines
and rhyme, but have them have real
and
meaning
deliver it,
behind
it. Mm-hmm. Like for Color Girls.
John
right?
Cusack really
delivered it.
Delivered
Angela
that.
Angela Bassett was great too.
Okay, and who is she?
Angela Bassett is, she's in the community.
She's the next door neighbor.
Yeah, you find she's the next door neighbor to him.
She's across the street.
She's his mother's sister character in this film.
She's had a child who was shot for the same thing. She's all about books, just watch TV whatsoever. She's just really like. Kind of about her shit. And kind of just like, I'm tired of what the hell's going on in here. And y'all young kids just... She's like, basically, she's like, I've been in this city X amount of times. I've seen this narrative all the damn time.
So what was Spike thinking when he made this?
That's a good fucking question. Because I'm not sure if this art piece is going to reach the demographic that I've thought he was trying to reach. I'm not sure who he was trying to reach.
Well, one, it's playing in the wrong theaters, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's not. We had a hard time trying to find it, number
one.
Okay,
it's what was your point? Who are you trying to reach, and what conversation are you trying to have? Because if you're trying to have this conversation with me, that ain't it. And if you're trying to have this conversation with these kids in Chicago, that really ain't it. Because they're not going to watch this movie and think, maybe I should stop shooting. That's not what's going to happen after seeing this movie.
That's a good point. I know
Chi-Town Woe Now right now. It's like what L.A. was in the 80s and the 90s.
Mm, a lot of cities like that.
I do know that. But Chicago, I read a little something about it briefly and was like, damn, man, they're like, they facing that right now? Like, you know what I'm saying? What L.A. was like in the 80s and 90s with that gang violence shit and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they
I guess a trip because I ain't really been hearing nothing like that. You know, I thought it was just over on this side of town.
People from Chicago were saying the quote-unquote gang and color thing is not like that. But he does bring up in the movie basically stats where it's like all these wars happening, these many people died in this city around in the same amount of time. It's double the amount of killing. And so all that gets brought up in there that this city has had its large fair share of
violence. So is his purpose to, shed some light on Chicago? Or what was he doing?
I think Spike wanted to have some commentary about what has been happening over the last couple of years in regard to violence against black people and then the violence that we perpetuate against ourselves. All the conversations that we've had about black on black crime and then cops crime against black people. To me, he just wanted to have something. He wanted to have expressed something about it.
Yeah.
To me, the fact that the black on black crime was his central focus let me know where he stands in the situation. I got a feeling Spike is one of those people that's like, well, we can't get mad at the cops if we ain't taking care of ourselves type folks. I don't know that for sure.
I think he said something like that.
I think you're right on point. No, in the movie, it does get the fact that basically, how do we stop ourselves from killing ourselves? That's in the sense movie, like we're
the responsibility of the women.
Best scene in the movie. Best scene.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the best, but with all the conversations we've had beforehand, it does sit to me with the women that I'm like, okay, what I've heard a lot of the protest that's going on, specific from what I heard in Ferguson and all that, the people who are on the front line are women. And I feel like part of that with that movie is like a lot of the women are the ones in the lead. It sucks nowadays, but it's fact. A lot of the people that in this Black Lives Matter movement, it was started by women. It's being led by women. This is what it is. Yeah. So I didn't have a problem with that. And the whole thing with the pussy holdout, I'm like, this is what happens now. Like the concept we just had. If you don't want to deal with this, don't give it up and see what happens. You're like, well,
there is power.
Somebody else is going to do it. I'm like, word? Oh, really? Okay. Well, then. Mm-hmm. See what happens then. Don't just be like, well, somebody's going to have, let's just wait. Like, yeah,
I didn't have a problem with that either. Because to me, Spike is always having some sort of commentary about male and female relationships amongst black people. And in this situation, it's the woman using her pussy power to bring about change. But a lot of times to me...
You like that, Kim?
I mean, my pussy brings all kind of power. Anyway. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's
maybe they can use it to stop these niggas from being tried ass. Being me.
Like that. Yeah, I mean, don't come for me unless I send for you.
Yeah. If you just like, yo, these nut huggers y'all wearing is not attractive. So until you stop wearing it, I'm not giving
real
you
real conversations
none.
On the mic. Yeah.
So what was Tash? Sometimes we got a real Tash right on back in. So what was the most memorable scene? Because you know, if you think about a Spike Lee movie, we can all go to any of his movies and be like, that scene right there.
The sex scenes. This was an
in this movie was the
so, was very sexual.
So you know this is
Spike that an Lee agreement has, around the table?
Yes.
I wouldn't say for
the over sex. No, is the agreement?
Wow.
Is the agreement?
But it is sexual.
Is the agreement around the table? Is that the movie's oversexed?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a lot in there. But I mean, like if you holding off pussy,
the most
then
memorable scene, the most poignant, right? Like, so when we think about like Jungle Fever, for me, I can go to like when the women are sitting down having a conversation about where black men are going in the dating, right? And then when you think about like Do the Right Thing, I'm only going off my top three, right? Do the Right Thing is when like that riot outbreaks between the Italians and the blacks and everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see everybody spitting out their stereotypes. When you think about this movie, what scene just sticks out?
I think of two scenes. One is when Nick Cannon is having sex with this light-skinned girl who is breaking the sex strike. And the second is...
Why, though?
Because it's very graphic.
Ew.
And her body is banging. Like, her, like it's memorable. Like, and so, then also, I think of the...
Yeah, that part was graphic. Because you're just like, it's like, this is her from here all the way to here.
Yeah,
and it's there for like 5 minutes. You're like, oh, I'm looking at this chick ass. Like, right here.
Yeah.
Right?
You look at more of her than her ass, too. Yeah.
But, okay. You hear that, Spike? Then, the most memorable part of your movie then, is Nick taking down a light-skinned girl.
The second part is when they finally, Nick Cannon and his boo, played by Tiona, they have a standoff. And it's like they have sex in the ring. It's kind of weird to explain.
Because it's fucking ridiculous.
But I think
that part was ridiculous.
It was. It was far. That it part was satire.
It's a satire.
It was meant to be.
But then that's the second.
Okay, Kim.
No, that's
so
the second thing.
Tasha's most memorable scenes. Kim.
And then there might be one scene with Angela Bassett that I do remember, but it wasn't as memorable. No. But it wasn't as memorable.
The older women also in the community also like. They banned on it too, like, yo, we not letting these dudes have sex. And but you do have women who are like, word? I don't know if I can do that. Like, 'cause
So yeah. The two memorable scenes for me is when Dolomites is narrating and Tiana Harris, he's telling us who she is, and there's a long scene of her walking through the city. She had a badass walk. Right. She had a big fro, little denim skirt, halter top. I mean, she's in heels, she's stepping. Yeah. She's stepping. Yeah. It was beautiful. Just a beautiful black woman walking around the city. Yeah, and you're seeing all the men just be like, oh, shit.
And
like,
just high-fiving her and whatnot. Like, oh. Right.
It was that. I remember that scene. And then the scene with Dave Chappelle, who I didn't expect to see. Dave Chappelle and Wesley Snipes. Great. And there, Dave Chappelle runs a strip club, but ain't no strippers there because everybody's on a sex strike. And, like, there's this whole conversation about, like, what we gonna do. Right. Those were the two most memorable scenes for me. Oh, and Jay Hud's scene, but it's because it was bad.
That scene was good. For me, it would have to be... That scene was great. That's probably one of my favorite scenes. But
why is Dave Chappelle thick now? Okay, anyway.
He's heavy. Like he put on some weight.
How about I thought I was Dave Chappelle? So you just said that. I was like,
what?
That was him.
Yeah, he's put on like 100 pounds.
100.
He's put on some weight.
He big. He's,
you know how like Dave Chappelle like how you saw like I'm it's a fucked up. I'm calling him out. Like how you see old singer like you see SWV and then you see him later now. You like God damn, y'all put on some weight like that.
What? Okay.
SWV looked good.
I didn't say that it looked good. I just said, but you
ain't like, no better man now. Like the one I got. That's their new song.
For me, I would say the scene John Cusack preaching.
Yeah,
because that was heavy. The other one, I do like the club scene, but since she said that, the one where you have the black men, the older black men, I don't know if they're supposed to be frat or
Masons
or whatnot.
When they try to walk in and steal their chastity
belts? No, the scene where when you first see them in their meeting and they're complaining about it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because one of them is like, even like the little down low brothers, they said they ain't even giving it up. And they're all like,
how the fuck you know?
That scene was good. I would say that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shelby.
So my favorite, my most memorable are going to be my favorite because I don't even want to, because It was the beginning. My favorite part of the movie was that beginning part at, like, when she's walking. And so, what was his name?
Dolomites.
I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. Like, it really set my expectation kind of high.
Okay.
For the rest of the movie, because I was very confused going into this movie. I thought it was a documentary. and then I had a problem in general with the casting of the preacher as a white person.
Savior.
But I thought he did an excellent job with the funeral scene. Mm-hmm. So I think the funeral scene was done very well.
Yeah, that was good.
I was like, but I'm not going to. We'll talk about him later. But those are my two favorite parts of the movie. I mean, actually, all of Dolomites was my favorite.
Sam Jackson did his thing.
Because he just comes in to narrate certain stuff.
Mm-hmm. I am a little bit over that whole pimp thing, but if I had to pick somebody, over you. Like I said, if I had to pick someone, he always gets a pass. I feel like, because he does things well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even if he's doing something that I'm like, maybe not.
What did y'all think? I was gonna say, what did y'all think of the whole like older man? Because I didn't like the fact that it was like, okay, they were on that, like, yo, you know, because of this chick and her friends, I'm not getting no ass, so let's go to them. And that whole thing was like, we bringing keys to the chastity belt. That part, I was like, for what?
Right.
Like, that part was confusing because I'm like, what you wanted to see was like, why don't y'all go to the fucking men and be like, yo, your gang shit is fucking up my ass.
Because it's the responsibility of the women.
Because it never happened. That's right. But that's the conversation we're constantly having.
The women.
Yeah. But it felt that way because they were complaining and all that. And then it was like, we got these keys and we going to unlock. And I'm like, okay, if you unlock the belts, what the fuck is that going
to
do?
But they're not about to do anything with your old ass.
Right. But I think Spike's point is that's part of our problem is that the elders if we're talking about women always taking the lead in these situations, the men don't step up.
Yep, yeah.
They don't. Mm-hmm. They rather try to break the women down in the situation versus stepping up to what their responsibility is supposed to be. I mean, it's in that regard, it's somewhat realistic.
Yeah. How was the soundtrack?
Oh, it was Blanchard or Marcellus, one of them.
Terrence Blanchard did it. I saw good,
jazzy, hip hoppy. Mm-hmm.
As for the album, I saw the album has some cuts. It has Nick Cannon songs on there.
It has who?
Nick Cannon. Because it is a Nick Cannon is a rapper.
Spitting
so it has some of his songs as that character on there.
Okay.
Did you guys like Nick Cannon in the movie?
I did. I forgot it was Nick Cannon until the end, and then I was reminded that was Mariah. Yeah,
the end scene was kind of
ex-husband.
Yeah. I mean, that part and when he finally caved in, it was like because I felt Angela Bassett's part where it's like, tell the fucking truth. You know, back in the day, killing the kid was wrong. And guys would be like, oh, shit, let me own up to it. And, like, encouraging him. And then once he finally came out, it was like, And then when he said what he said, I was like,
Yeah, once he broke down, it was just weak sauce after that. But up to that point, I think he was convincingly the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't annoying. No. Which is what I was expecting. And he was actually good.
He was good
embodying the character. He wasn't good in delivering his lines.
He just always talked like a rapper.
Like, he was always... He never gave real definition to what he was saying. He never articulated the verse in a way that opened it up. He just always articulating his hard, like, yo, why you, he was really good.
He was good.
But see, to me, that's not good, though. It always sounded like Nick Cannon trying to be an actor the whole time. It never sounded like Chirac. It never sounded like he was in character. It always sounded like Nick Cannon reading lines. And if it sounds like Nick Cannon reading lines...
Not all the parts to me. Not all the parts.
For me, it did.
There were points where it did feel like, but not all through the movie.
For me, it did.
I funny thing. I like Wesley Snipes because his character was...
He was like...
With a patch on.
Yeah.
His character was funny because the way he spoke in rhyme was funny.
What's his name? Cyclops?
Yeah.
Something like that. I was the only one for him because I was like, ooh, I needed this. Because they were wearing me out in that theater. By the way, I was sitting next to a white man in the theater and I was like... You know, it's different when you're sitting.
Of course.
For me, it's different if I'm sitting in a group of black people watching the movie.
Of course.
And I'm literally sitting next to a white man watching this foolishness. And I said, damn.
When our viewing was over, there was a white man in the front. And he was like.
Yeah, he stood up and clapped for like a good, for a while.
I was like, Chris, I like the movie. I don't like it as much as he likes it.
Because when people came up, you know, but he stood up and clapped. And we all, most people clapped. We stopped. He kept going. And then sat through the credits, and then at the end of the credit, toward the end, he stood up
and clapped again.
It was like, wow, moved. Okay.
He was moved.
No, he was making some points. Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, he made some points. He had a point where there was a point early in the show, in the movie, where it starts off, I guess, at Chirac's concert. And because how we do out here when it's rappers and they got a particular color, they're going to rep the color. And he shits on the other color. And, of course, there's somebody in the club who's the other gang. And basically these two guys get shot.
I wonder who
and you see them. You see them at one point with Dolomiti's talking to both of them. And they're both like, yeah, we basically got shot. And, you know, I got a piss in the little thing or whatever. And basically telling you it wasn't fucking worth it.
Like, and I think that, to me, if there is a point in this movie that is definitely weak is that Spike is trying to give us too many messages. Like, I expected to see Keenan Ivory Wayans like he was and Don't You Produce in the Hood come out and be like, message?
Yeah.
Because it was so blatant.
Mm-hmm,
you know, there was, it lacked in subtlety. Mm-hmm. It was very much like, bam, this is what I'm trying to say. Bam, this is the point that I'm trying to hit on. And I'm not accustomed to him being so just, like, even with Do the Right Thing, we knew where that build up was going, but there was still the build up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it was like that, I guess, in Bamboozle. But, I mean, Bamboozle was heavy as hell.
Did Spike do Higher Learning? Was that him? Or is that...
No, that was Johnson.
No, okay. Johnson. Okay. Okay.
Wrong back
I'm telling you, I'm not... I don't take what Spike has done in the past away from him because he deserves to be respected. Mm-hmm. However, this movie was not well made, in my opinion. And they're just... For him to be this seasoned, I don't know if satire is not his thing or if he had too much to say in this movie. But for me, this movie was not well made. And I had a higher expectation of Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. When I go to a Spike Lee movie, I just have a certain level of expectation. And it did not meet it at all.
You know what? I wonder if Spike, because he's in the position that he is, feels like he has the responsibility to make these films that delve into whatever black folk circumstances are. Because when I really think about the arc of his storytelling over the years, you know, the films that do strike a chord, of course, are those ones that make a great point. But where am I going? To me, some of the stories that the ones that he does that aren't about a specific thing or a specific moment in time sometimes hold, I don't want to say they hold greater weight because I'm saying that, but I'm also thinking about the films that were timely that also were pretty powerful, like Get on the Bus. I don't know. I feel like maybe he feels like he carries a certain responsibility to make these types of stories.
Maybe.
And maybe if he dropped that burden and gave himself more freedom in his storytelling,
maybe,
then he would create a product that was a little bit stronger. Like he didn't have to do this as far as commentary. He could have done it in the way that he did the New Orleans situation and made it into more of a documentary style versus making it into this kind of project. But I don't know. I definitely think early Spike, he's at his hungriest. You know what I mean? And to me, he definitely had better caliber of films in the 80s and 90s than what he's doing now.
Yeah, I hope with this he will try to go back and do something a little more, you know, not messaging. Because it ends at the end where he's telling people to wake up. Like, literally, Spike, Samuel Jackson's character telling them you to wake up. You're like, okay.
Again.
I don't mind a message if it's done well.
No, I don't.
Executed well. I think it's just a problem of execution. And, you know, I mean, I can't complain about it. The execution of our grand filmmaker, because he's our grand filmmaker, and I'm going to go see. Yeah, I'm going to go see him no matter what.
Yeah,
I just think that he has. Did anybody see Sweet Blood of Jesus?
Yeah, I just thought I could.
Was that was that the film that he was doing the funding for? That he was asking money for?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it's just like, bruh.
Yeah, I don't know where he was. Bruh, going with that.
Like,
it's like
you're gonna have to tell us a story.
The grade you would give it if you had to give it a grade.
B.
I give it a B+.
B+.
Mm-hmm. I think it has some stuff in there that does hit you and make some sense. But I
would
if you were in the street,
I would give it a B, but I only give it on the strength of my liking the student. I wouldn't say that the student actually earned the B.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
a lot. And
yes, yeah. I'm giving it a D.
No pass.
All around the board.
Yeah, I don't even. I'm definitely not giving it a B, and I'm trying to decide between a C and a D because the thing is, I do like Spike Lee, and what I have been saying is before this movie, I thought I was a Spike Lee fan.
Yeah,
that's what I've been saying. Is I thought I was a Spike Lee fan, and now I'm like, am I? So I'm thinking more like a D. But the reason why I say on the fence about a D is because it does have good information in there, but he's like almost where Bill Cosby was. Like, Bill Cosby kind of had a point when he was trying to talk to young people, but his delivery was all off. It's like there's so much information in there. There's so much truth, mm-hmm. but your delivery and your execution and the filmmaking, it just wasn't there. So
is it because Spike at this point, age-wise, is just far removed
maybe
from the audience with whom he's trying to communicate. Like when he was making all those films in the 90s or in the 80s when he was doing School Days and Mo' Better Blues and Do the Right Thing.
He wasn't Spike.
Yeah. And to me, it was geared more towards our generation. And we could understand that perspective. And maybe now he's just a little bit outside.
He's a little heavy-handed with it. Because I can think about Do the Right Thing. A lot of that doesn't hit you until you get to the end. And you're like, okay, I get it. This one, it does feel like you're like, okay, here we go. And then it's another one. You're like, okay. And oh, God, yeah, that scene with washing the blood. I wanted her to be like, at some point, I wanted her to fall in the damn blood. I was like, she's washing it and crying. Yeah. I'm like, this is, your and child. She's washing it kind of like, this is the last scene with my child. Now, I expected her to get on the ground, like, this, and like, kind of like, I'm hugging my child because this is where she's staying.
Right.
No, but it's just,
it was bad.
Yeah, the reality of the type of pain that you would be in.
Yeah, even her washing it.
The sweet blood of my dick.
She could have just, it was different. It would have been different if she was just standing there and she sat there and just was like, this is where my child, and I just sat here on the ground and just bawled the hell out or something like that. But her washing it was like, is she really washing the damn street? Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know how often that actually happens. But
to me, that was the writing. Like,
yeah.
That. Her walking away from her dead child's body is writing. Like,
yeah.
And maybe she suggested, like, no, I would go to my child. And like, no, the next thing we need you, because we don't want to focus too much, we just need you to go to your car. And so, to me, it was, for me, it was writing. Yeah. But, you know, her performance aside, she didn't throw me out, but yet her reaction was not authentic. But I just think it wasn't written to be authentic.
Maybe. I just think, you know,
something was off.
Yeah, Spike is just, I think it's a good film to go see. I say support Spike because I feel like we should support Spike. Yeah, and I do think that he is just a bit out of touch.
Good sex scenes in it.
He's just older. Yeah, the sex is right. He's good for that.
If you like, if you like black women, you will like the movie. But I would say if you like black sex, you like the movie.
There's a lot.
There's
a lot of small outfits. It's just very overtly sexual.
Yeah. He's always that way with women.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah, so that's going to be again. But I would say it's...
Why is that a sticking point, though?
For me, because I feel like... What were we talking about earlier? We're talking about slut shaming. I feel like we're just so, we're all, as black women, women in general and black women, we're constantly dealing with this sex issue. And for him to use that as a major, you know, plot, whatever he was doing, it seemed unnecessary to me. It just felt a little bit unnecessary. And I understand everybody has explained to me 50 million times over why we even discussed it tonight, why that was a good, you know, a good idea. I just don't think it was necessary. I just don't think it was necessary.
I only have issues with black women and being over sexualized when it's done in a derogatory manner. To me, this wasn't derogatory.
Yeah, it had a purpose. I think it's better than what was being said about the movie before I saw it. It's not a home run, but you know, people were like, oh, it's just about Chicago and, you know, he just talking about it. It's more than that.
Yeah, it's worth seeing and forming your own opinion about it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I can't wait to go see it.
Yeah, it's worth seeing and forming.
Now listen, when you see it, remember I said it's a lot. It is a lot.
I'm looking for the light-skinned girl.
I think
Spike actually loves forgot black about women. That scene.
I think he loves black women. So that's why he's always sexualizing.
I do think he loves black women.
Yeah.
More than we know.
Yeah. So Chi-Raq, y'all.
Chi-Raq.
Spike's latest.
Go support.
I'm also hearing everybody should go see Creed. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's the business.
And you should buy the title track on Chi-Raq. That song Nick Cannon does, amazing.
What, the opening rap song?
Yes.
Nick Cannon?
Oh, my God.
Amazing? Are you
being
funny?
Yes.
You can tell in his face he'd be
like,
I'm over there like, really?
There's nothing about that.
We done put Chris to sleep. He out for the count. He like, Chi what? Chi sleep?
I'm about to say this Star Wars again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the black guy in the movie.
You did, actually. You was revving up.
No.
It wasn't like a full-on. She got you, though. She stopped you before you got into the full-on.
Sam, yo, Chirac.
He said, righto.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.